Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording it at 6:20 a.m. and that is Singapore time. And I thought that rather than record the audio in the evening of the 25th, I would do it in the morning of the 26th. That way we're getting the close on Wall Street, and I think the conclusions might be a bit more relevant. I've been rather conscious over the last couple of days that the audio has been going out too early. And when we look at what's going on in here today, well, the NASDAQ had a pretty decent bounce, but in the after hours, we had both Amazon and Google reporting. And when we look at these shares, they bounced pretty impressively on the 25th, but that has been unwound in the after hours trading. So, for example, when we look at Google, it was up $46 yesterday, but it's given it all up in here today because earnings have not come in with a sufficiently large surprise. In fact, they were slightly down on estimates, so that has given up the decline, given up the advance in here today. What's, I think, important about Google, and it's something that we've been talking about in the seminars I've been teaching over the course of the last week, is that this had previously been the most consistent trend in the world. That you had a sequence of ranges, one above another. Each one of those ranges was approximately $100. Each one of the breakouts was approximately $100 from the top of the most recent range. And that sequence persisted for about 9 years. Then it stopped this year. We had a $200 rally from the most recent range. Then we had a $200 correction, so it pulled back into the underlying range. Then it got all the way up to a new high around 1200 and failed and pulled back down into the underlying range. So you're getting a larger advance, a larger pullback, and then a failed upside break. So these are three quite significant trend inconsistencies this year for one of the most consistent trends in the world prior to this year. So that tells us that supply and demand have come back into balance after a very lengthy period where they were out of balance. And that at least has to give the most vociferous bulls some pause. What it suggests is that Google is at least in a medium-term correction, and that it could be ranging for a prolonged period. Worst case scenario, this is a top, and the $1,000 area will not hold. So what this certainly is signaling to us is that the risk has increased rather substantially. Then when we look at Amazon, it's also just reported, and they are being a little bit coy about predicting a major move in the fourth quarter. So they're not predicting as big a pump on the upside from holiday sales this year as last year. Well, the stock market has been giving Amazon the benefit of the doubt for much of the last decade, and investors were waiting to buy on the dip yesterday because they were waiting for what Amazon's earnings were going to be. Well, in the after hours, it is giving up all of yesterday's advance. It was up 7% yesterday, and it's down 7% in after hours trading. That's going to take it right back down to the region of the trend mean. Well, the one clear strategy that has worked best with Amazon has been to buy the dips. So in order for the bull market to be over, then buying the dips has to fail. So we're at the region of the trend mean right now, and people bought the dip yesterday for sure. Well, now they're going to have to buy it again today or next week in order to really confirm that we're getting support coming back into it coming back in the region of this trend mean. Well, Amazon and Google are two of the largest constituents on the NASDAQ 100. And then you have Apple. Well, Apple was not reporting earnings yesterday, and this still remains one of the more consistent trends. It's a little bit overbought relative to the trend mean, but when we think about is there evidence of type 1, type 2, or type 3, well, It did break out in a very emphatic manner, but that's hardly acceleration, and it's just a little bit overbought at the moment. So that's, I think, something else that we have to bear in mind, that it's not every share is experiencing selling pressure, but certainly enough of them are that it is weighing on the stock market. And that has to, I think, when we think about what is it that the Federal Reserve is doing, well, we've now seen that the Nasdaq, for example, is right in the region of 7,000, and that's the upper side of the underlying trading range. And this is the key area where it needs to demonstrate support if this trend is going to represent consistency, or it's going to continue to represent consistency. Interest rate sensitive sectors like mid caps have been pulling back sharply, and this has been a very big decline that we've seen on the Russell, but it's not just the Russell, it's mid-cap sectors just about everywhere. The only one that has not pulled back in a very violent manner is the second section in Japan. Well, the second section is right in the region of the lower side of its range, and it's going to have to bounce with some vigor in here today if the range is going to persist. Meanwhile, the Nikkei has pulled back down through its most recent range, and it's looking likely that the 20,000 level could be tested. So we're definitely in a corrective phase here, and it's being led lower by the European markets. Well, Europe is in the throes of a rather big existential question about what to do with Italy. It's largely a catch-22 because the policies that have been adopted over the course of the last decade assumed that people were literally going to sit and take whatever was shoved down their throats, and that has always been something that was going to come back and bite them, and now it is. So expecting people to accept a decade of lower living standards with no revolt is something now that we're seeing a change in Italy. Well, that is having a deleterious effect on the nation's bonds. If the EU sanctions Italy, well, the bond yield is obviously then going to also still remain under pressure. But I kind of think that it's unlikely that the EU is going to sanction Italy because of the pressure that would put on their bond market. Everybody knows that that's what would happen, and therefore it's less likely to occur. I think the more likely scenario is that they're going to make a lot of noise about Italy, but then they will bypass the final stage of actually sanctioning the country. That will give tacit approval to a fiscal stimulus, and that is in fact what Europe needs. It needs fiscal stimulus if it's going to blunt the growing threat of populism. And the other country that is badly in need of some really quite overt support from the government is China. China was relatively steady in here today, but this is still a downtrend. It did pick up pace in the last couple of weeks, but the sequence of lower rally highs remains intact. It has bounced from that psychological 2,500 point level. Well, that also represents the upper side of that underlying base formation between about 2012 and 2014. So we're at a point where some investors at least will be thinking that it's time to be thinking about buying, but they're unlikely to do so until we get some real visibility on exactly what the Chinese government is going to do. The renminbi remains under pressure. It's at 6.9489 today, so almost 69 or 6.95. And there is nothing on the chart suggests that it's going to pull back below 6.8 anytime soon. Well, the Chinese need a weaker currency, and not least because of the threat of a trade war with the USA. And when we look at the banking sector, well, that is where we have the most clear and overt evidence of support starting to come back through. A couple of weeks ago, the Chinese expanded the list of companies that they consider to be financially significant, or the systemically important financial institutions, SIFIs, has been increased. Well, that also suggests that, and of course all of those banks are listed on this index, so that is where the support is starting to come through, but it says nothing about the health of the regional banking sector, which is unlisted and is not on that SIFI list. When we then look at the property sector in China, well, this is where we have some of the greatest pressure coming to bear, but we did have a bounce in here today, and 5,000 is the lower side of its range. It is now pressuring the lower side of the overhead trading range, and this is about where, if demand is going to return to dominance, well, then it will push back up towards the 6,000 level, and then we'll see whether it can break the sequence of lower rally highs. The more important point here is that China is at the beginning of trying to support its markets, and that's good news from the perspective of the global economy. The outlook for China has been deteriorating for months. In fact, it's been going down all year, and they are finally starting to give us some evidence that they're aware of the problem and that they're willing to do something about it. The H-share index in Hong Kong is down to that psychological 10,000 level. Now, it's a big old range between 2009 and now, and 14,000 has been an area of resistance. Well, the lower side of the range is closer to 8,000, but we have seen on a couple of occasions previously that 10,000 has been an area of support. Well, all depending on what happens on Wall Street, because if the Nasdaq can hold the 7,000 level through the balance of today and next week, well, then we can start to think about support starting to come through. But with the negative earnings that are coming through from Amazon and Google, well, we're certainly going to have that hypothesis tested in here over the next few days. And then when we look at U.S. two-year Treasury yields, if we ask ourselves simple questions, well, the pace of the advance has been rather quick, and we're due a bounce in terms of the price, and this yield does look somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean. There have been occasions when it has pulled back, albeit on a very short-term basis, from somewhere in the region of about 40 basis points. And that's what we've seen over the course of the last couple of years, and therefore the potential is that we're going to see a rebound in short-term Treasury prices that will close this overextension relative to the trend mean. When we look at the price instead of the yield, I think we can see, for example, that it is oversold in the short term. Well, the trade that has got the clearest consensus right now is that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to raise interest rates. But the overextension on the two-year yield price is, I think, starting to signal that we're going to get a bounce, and that the most likely scenario is that the region of the trend mean will be tested, and then we'll see whether stock markets steady up, because it does look unlikely that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to raise interest rates if we are moving into a more corrective, volatile phase on Wall Street. When we look at the VIX index, well, it is not at the levels it was in back in January and February. That was a very swift pullback. Well, but it does have first step above the base characteristics. Then that's something we have to also think about, that there is the potential here that the VIX will pop on the upside, albeit when we do look at the longer term chart, it's generally speaking when you do get the spikes on the upside that you get bottoms, whereas the move upwards in volatility is less of a reliable indicator for declines. So, but it does look like we're going to see some higher volatility based just simply upon the chart. And when we think about the outlook for the S&P 500, well, the thing that I've been mentioning in recent audios is that it did fail to sustain the breakout. And when that happens, and when the dynamic of the failure is larger than the dynamic of the breakout, and that was certainly the case with this chart, well, then it can pull all the way back down to the region of the lower side of the underlying range. And the lower side of the underlying range is about 2,500. Well, that has to, I think, be something we have to be prepared for, that we could see that magnitude of a pullback. Then it will be an awfully big question whether a subsequent rebound can push back above the trend mean. So we're at, I think, a rather pivotal point in stock markets right now. And that is also something that is helping to support the gold price, despite the fact that the dollar remains really quite firm. Gold prices have been rather steady, even in US dollar terms. But when we start to look at gold in other currencies, well, that's where we're starting to see clearer evidence of a return to clear demand dominance. That also helps to highlight the fact that gold is a monetary metal. It really does best when it's appreciating in all currencies. Well, it's not appreciating in all currencies, but it's appreciating in a significant number of them, most particularly not the USA right now. Well, the euro failed in the region of the trend mean about a month ago, and now it is going back down to test the lower side of its range. Well, to me at least, this looks like a downtrend, and that we may see some steadying in the lower side of the range, but that the most likely scenario is that the euro is going to be trading lower from here. And that's going to be a tailwind in nominal terms for their stock market when investors start to look at valuations, but it's likely to be a short-term headwind when we know that the reason that the euro is pulling back is because of these questions that are still underlying the European project. Well, that is also something that is impacting the pound. I was reading just before I started this broadcast that the May administration have paused the negotiations because they can't agree on how to sell out, and that is putting downward pressure on the pound right now. But when we look at this over the medium term, well, the pound has got base formation characteristics against the euro, and that, I think, is the clearest indication that the market believes that there will eventually be a deal on Brexit. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you. I guess one point, though, I'm probably going to be rather time pressured because I am taking a flight back to Los Angeles tonight. So I may be posting the comment of the day for Friday on Saturday morning in Los Angeles. And so that's just a heads up.